So, with all this talk of cloud computing and Microsoft, what are Microsoft doing around the cloud and utility computing?
Obviously, there's been a lot of discussion about Azure over the last 5 or 6 months since we announced it at PDC, but also getting some feedback as we prepare for commercial availability this year and even well beyond, and I know you're thinking a lot about that as well.
Yeah, we're discussing a lot of the roadmap plans and getting feedback. I think it's going to be a really exciting year for us and a lot of change. What's been interesting is how quickly these customers are looking to move. A lot of the conversations we were having 6 to 9 months ago made it sound like it was going to be a much slower ramp, but we're seeing a really aggressive move into the cloud, and it's very exciting.
I think what's interesting is that we've had several sessions already around the cloud today, and there's so much discussion about what the cloud really is.
Right.
And you know, there's lots of terms being around, thrown around. Platform as a service, software as a service, infrastructure as a service. I'm going to try to clarify a little bit of that around how the Azure Services platform fits into one of the taxonomies that was provided earlier. But you know, I think that's going to be one of the challenges moving forward. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I think understanding that Windows Azure is a platform that you can build a software as a service or lots of other applications that will run in the cloud. It's a new way to build those applications and scale them in an automatic way.
Yep.
The service management piece in particular is the one that seems to catch a lot of attention. It's like you don't have to go and manage virtual machines. Windows Azure does all that for you. You give it the code and it will deploy it and scale it for you automatically. So that's been a point that's had some confusion, and once we've clarified, it's had a lot of excitement from people about how much more efficiently they're going to be able to manage their services.
Yep. I agree. I keep on going back to every time I almost give it a talk around Azure is even just showing a very simple kind of Hello World style demo and how in 5 minutes you can go from file new project in Visual Studio to running an application that somebody could go and touch out in the cloud. Because really what I see over and over again, I think it'll be helpful for this set of folks, is that concept of actually taking your app and deploying it rather than running remote desktop or any other terminal service software.
Configuring servers, managing patches and upgrades, managing downtime.
Yes.
All that goes away now.
So it should be fun to get some feedback today.
So one question I'm often asked is, what's Microsoft's philosophy, plan, and goals for taking its enterprise technology that's delivered on-premise today and used by many customers and partners to an online world? And the first thing, really, I would say to that is that have a look at Microsoft Online Services. That's the umbrella name for all of our services that we'll be taking online. We're just about to launch, actually. It's already at trial, our Business Productivity Online Suite. And that really is the first set of four technologies that we're taking online. It's a shortened name, as we always have, to BPOS. And those products are Exchange, SharePoint, Live Meeting and Office Communication Online. And we're able to deliver that in a couple of ways to our customers and partners. But they're only the first four products in what is effectively a new way for us to deliver technology to customers and partners. We will follow up those four products with other products in our portfolio over time, and they will all live under that Microsoft Online Services umbrella. So next thing I'm often asked is, how do I consume this technology? So again, I'll look at the standard and the dedicated. We have two ways that you can consume this technology. First of all, you can add it to an existing volume licensing agreement. And we've changed the client access rights when you actually step up to an online service to enable you to not only talk to an on-premise server, which you can do today, but talk to a Microsoft hosted solution as well. We also have a second commercial model, which is a subscription license. And that means that you can pay per user per month to consume the four technologies that are in BPOS. There is no perpetual license rights at the end of that agreement, but you actually have all of the rights, including the client access license rights, that you need for both talking to a Microsoft hosted solution and, importantly, an on-premise server when you take the subscription route. The same is also true for our dedicated space. Probably the fifth question I often get asked around when I talk to people around online services is, how frequently will the service be updated? Deployment is always a challenge for organizations in moving technology forward and actually having the business case justification for doing so. This will move forward as a service every 6 months with a major release. Patches and minor changes will happen all of the time. what's really important for customers who consume the technology from the step up to their existing license is you need to keep your software assurance current. Because the service moves forward every 6 months, and the maximum releases that you can be out of step is 2 releases, you will have to move forward at probably a faster rate than you're used to, because that's what an online service enables you to do. So it has an advantage. What you need to think about is how you're commercially licensed to enable you to do that. If you take the subscription services route, you don't. The subscription service covers all of the licenses that you need to actually move this forward in the right way. So you don't therefore need to keep software assurance current. There's not such a concept there.
So what I talked about today at a meeting with a group of customers and partners was literally around Microsoft and the economy. Really, it covers a couple of big things, which is what are we seeing out there in the market at the moment? What is happening from an economic perspective around gross domestic product, consumer price index, etc.? But also, more importantly, what that means to the IT market. What's happening to PC server shipments, to growth, to the packaged software market, and what impact that is having both on Microsoft's business, but also other vendors and other customers and partners out in the market today. So I wasn't surprised by the initial reaction to the economic data, which I used from a leading industry analyst. Generally, people are feeling a little bit nervous, but actually there's a lot of customers, and some of the customers and partners in the room agreed quite extensively with this, that companies are either in an instability mode. They don't really know what's happening. They don't really know what they're doing. They look at just controlling costs, cutting costs. The second stage is this period of stability. People have worked out what their core business model is. They've worked out how to manage their costs, and they're actually just stabilizing their business. And then there's also a group of people who are moving forward. They've got a good business model. They're perhaps growing. They're looking at ways they can take their business forward, and they're looking to invest in technology. Now, actually, what we found through even this small meeting was that a lot of customers and partners are in various stages, and sometimes they move forward, and sometimes they're in a period of instability. And actually, even some departments within the company are in different stages as well. So that started to get the energy up in the meeting in terms of working out where people were and what they were doing and how they were reacting to the economic crisis. So following on from the general economic conditions, we moved into the PC market. And by PC, I mean server shipments, client shipments, packaged software growth. And this was a very lively debate, primarily because we work with IDC, who obviously take a lot of their numbers from companies like ourselves, but also the hardware manufacturers. And those numbers have been changing, obviously, over time. So we're seeing a slight decline from where we originally thought the year would be, and in some cases, a significant decline. And actually, some of the clients in the room, some of the customers and partners, actually thought the decline would be even greater by the end of our fiscal year, which is the end of June. So that formed a quite heavy debate, very good discussion, and some debate and discussion disagreements amongst the customers themselves. Following that, we then went on to what is Microsoft doing in this particular space. And actually, some of the things we can see support that change. While some of our business areas are not where we'd like them to be, others, like SQL Server, are actually growing. And that supports, I think, the general consensus, which is that discretionary spending, I spend on business applications to solve a problem, maybe it's some form of business intelligence solution to drive some intelligence out of the data they've already got to help them move forward. We're showing growth. And the last part of the meeting was we spent probably about 20-25 minutes on one slide. And that slide only had 4 boxes on it. And that was what really Microsoft is trying to do. We understand the economic climate. We live and work in the UK ourselves. But actually, the 3 key things we're trying to do. What you can get from Microsoft for free. What you can get out of software or technology you've already invested in, you might not know you've got. And thirdly, is where you could invest some money and funds, purchasing new technology to actually invest for the future if you know you're in that moving ahead phase I talked about earlier. This caused a very, very healthy debate. And there was some agreement, some disagreement. Actually, what really came down to was that whilst there may be free stuff, and whilst they've invested in technology and they're perhaps not using it to the best of its capabilities, the cost and stuff was the cost of the software, the cost of the technology was not really the driving factor here. The cost was in actually deploying that and managing that within a large organisation and customer. And actually that's where we got some very pointed feedback, which I've taken down.
I'm John DeWine, the Area Data Center Manager for the Global Foundation Services within Microsoft. We run the Global Data Center platform for Microsoft, and my responsibility is those data centers that sit outside of North America. So a fairly wide span of responsibilities, interesting role. Today here at this UK Architects Council meeting, the topic was very much focused on the cloud, and my focus was on the infrastructure that supports the cloud. So Microsoft's been managing data centers across the globe for quite some years now, but the focus over the last few years has really been to deliver scale and deliver it as efficiently as we possibly can do. And so the things that I talked about at the event were, you know, the kind of journey that we've been through as we've moved from leased facilities, small kind of leased facilities, into building our first few designed, Microsoft designed and constructed facilities in Quincy, Washington, and San Antonio, Texas, and now Dublin in Ireland. So fairly exciting times for us in that space. And then also the work we're doing in Chicago, which is a very large facility focused on the use of containers, actually a very significant 1 million square foot facility focused on very high density, high efficiency containers. I then talked a little bit about where we're going from here. And so I talked about our Generation 4 strategy, which leverages the learning that we've had around containers, but also moves us to less of a bricks and mortar approach to data centers and more of a demountable approach. So we talked about, you know, being able to deliver the next level of power efficiency and also very, very short time to market relative to what we've been doing in the past. And so there was a great deal of interest in that. You know, obviously, the customers that are here are struggling themselves with the same challenges around the right level of scale for the right cost and how they should think about what they need to manage in-house versus what they could potentially host in the cloud. So there's been a great deal of interest over the 2 days about, you know, what is the cloud? What does it look like? How would I consume it? And what's it going to cost? And I think specifically the interest I saw in the session that I presented was, you know, how is what Microsoft's doing from a facilities perspective going to impact the cost of the service that they could take advantage of? And I expect that to be a conversation that continues on as the cloud strategy evolves.
Now, I've heard about these containers. Can you describe a little bit more about them? Because it's not a very traditional approach, is it?
Certainly, though it's an evolving approach in the industry, though. I mean, Microsoft's certainly not the only company that's working on a container or a containment-based strategy. So yes, we're doing a great deal of work in that area. And the interest from Microsoft's perspective is in a number of advantages that we see in this notion of containers or containment. One of them is obviously power efficiency. Containers provide, you know, the kind of penultimate scenario for managing the environment in a contained model. I can contain the hot aisle from the cold aisle. I can also incorporate the environmental controls into the box. So I can make a decision that this particular container is going to be a Tier 4 container. Equally, I could make a decision to deploy an N-class container or a Tier 2 container. And the beauty of that is that within the same facility, I can actually deploy different levels of resilience and by virtue of that, different levels of power efficiency in the one site. The testing that we've done, the proofs of concept that we've been doing and also the work that we're now starting to do in our facilities is leading us to believe that we could achieve, you know, PUEs of around 1.2 to 1.1, which is a significant advantage from where we are today. We think the industry currently stands at around 2.6, 2.7. Microsoft itself runs at a measured about 1.6 PUE. So the opportunity for us is to drive a significantly higher level of power efficiency than we've seen in the past. Equally, the opportunity is on time to market. So in a traditional data center environment, you know, for us to build a data center takes 12 to 18 months. Obviously, that's not very agile. Gen 4 as a strategy allows us literally to go and build a prefab data center in a very short time frame at a much lower cost, and also in locations where we may not traditionally want to build a data center. So there's enormous opportunities around our ability to become more agile in the delivery of the facilities themselves, but then the delivery of the IT capacity within the facilities. So it's all about cost, time to market, and power efficiency.
So guys, thanks very much. I know I've got you just before you're heading down to London for this AzureNet thing tonight, so perhaps you could just tell me a little bit about what's going on.
Well, we had an incredible response. We from concept to actually deliverance, it happened in sort of 14 days, and we released the public registration 14 days ago, and we've got just under 200 people actually attending tonight in London. We had the steering committee that was hosted at Western Manor last night, of which we sent out 12 very specific invites to, and we got 12 responses back to that. So I think that just sort of reflects the level of interest in it. I think Gerbert was there to actually witness the quality of the attendance.
It was a great discussion, actually, and a lot of enthusiasm and, you know, fire to get up and going. I think that was great to see, and also the engagement of our friends from Corp. You want to talk a little bit about the agenda tomorrow? What's happening?
So we've got James Card and Matt Rogers from the Azure team coming over to actually do the presentation, which I think has probably actually influenced a lot of the actual speed and response that actually come back. But, you know, if you look at Cloud Camp regularly has over 500 people actually attending it. So it's really given us something to actually to build around the community. So tonight we've gone to actually have an update on Azure, and then we're going to actually talk about the structure as far as the AzureNet sessions going forward.
So a lot of developments happening clearly in this space. What are the sort of key things that you're looking for out of this AzureNet community? What are the things? What are the benefits you think that it will provide to users who join? And what are the outcomes?
I think just actually looking at the registrations, it's quite apparent it's the developer audience is a strong audience we've actually got attending, but we've also actually got IT pros there, and we've also got CXOs attending. So I think part of the thing that we'll be talking through today is how we actually accommodate rich content to actually to keep those guys interested in what we're talking about.
Cool.